It's a different step of faith after being in ministry in the States for over 25 years and pastoring and evangelizing. Of course, we came up here several times in the last several years to preach at camp meetings and whatnot. But I never dreamed that we would come back to Canada, or I would come back and bring my family with me to start work here. So it's been a big step of faith. We had a successful website business, and we sold that, and God just orchestrated that whole deal, and it was just phenomenal what God did. I shared with Pastor over lunch, and some of the folks that we itinerated, traveled every weekend in the last 16 months pretty much, about 28 plus thousand miles, and God had his hand on us the whole time, praise the Lord. And we just traveled and preached every weekend in a different church. For the Jerry's combined, know about that. Travel thing gets old after a while. And we just appreciate God's people. Everywhere you go, it's people that love Jesus. Amen. And so we're excited about what God's going to do in the city or around the city of Kingston. And you just keep praying for us as the Lord. Give us favor with people and be able to reach souls for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. This is one of those prophetic passages in the scriptures that Jesus himself fulfilled when he went to the temple and he opened the scripture and began to read it. There in Isaiah chapter 61. Amen. I want to preach tonight on breakthrough praise. Amen. Breakthrough praise. Hallelujah. Scripture commands us to praise God. In fact, that's what we were doing tonight. In our singing and our verbal response, that is what praise is. Somebody said, what is praise? What's a good definition of praise? Sometimes we have a little mentality that praise is the first three fast songs we sing and worship is the next three slow songs that we sing. Amen. So we kind of defined it down sometimes as that, you know. But really, they go hand in hand, praise and worship. And there is a fine line between them. And if there's any difference between praise and worship, it can maybe be identified this way. Worship is how we esteem God. Amen. Worship is the attitude of the adoration we have in our heart towards God. Amen. Praise goes beyond the attitude of the heart. It's an articulation of what we feel inside. I think Sister Bonnie was a prime example of that tonight here on the keyboard. She was bubbling over. And of course, I've never seen her like that before. Almost every time I see her, she's bubbling over with excitement. That's an articulation of what's in the inside. You know the old slogan years ago, you are what you eat. And basically, that's true spiritually. We are what we are inside. We articulate that, amen, in an outward manifestation. So worship, if you will, is estimation, and praise is articulation. Both lift up God, both honor Him, and both are vitally important in our Christian experience with God. Amen. That's why it's not hard to praise. That's why a little while ago some of you got beside yourself and excited and worshiped God and praised Him in an articulation because of what you felt bubbling up inside. You know, remember that little song? It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. Everybody remember that? I'm singing and I'm shouting, since Jesus made me whole. But understand it. It's bubbling, 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 bubbling. It's likely to break up again right here, right there. In the middle of senses. Hallelujah. That's praise right there. Isn't that simple? That's what God loves, is the praise of His people. Hallelujah. It's like a couple when they're courting, you know, he's whispering sweet nothings in her ear, and she's just loving that, and that attention that he's giving her. You know what he's doing? He's wooing her. Oh, yeah. He's wooing her. Woo, woo. Amen. And that communication as you're courting progresses from, you know, I kind of like you to I love you. Amen. It's a communication of progress until there's a relationship that's consummated in marriage. Praise God. So worship has to do with estimation. Praise has to do with articulating what God has given us and put with us on the inside. Amen. I want to tell you something. The world didn't give it to us, and the world can't take it away. Amen. That's something God has birthed within us in that relationship we have with Him. So it's not hard when I come to church to praise God. It's not hard when I come into the sanctuary of God to worship Him because of what I feel on the inside. Amen. It's what's in my heart. When the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, it's not hard for me to do that because, amen, number one, I'm so appreciative of what God has done for me, how He has saved me. That's why we sang that song. I think I'll take a little time to praise the Lord for saving me, if nothing else. If God has done nothing else for us, church, we ought to praise Him just for salvation. Yes. Amen. When you count all the blessings of God, when you count your times you've been healed, and the times God helped you, the times He's supplied for you, the times He's answered your prayers, the times He's been so close to you, when you put all those together, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, amen, the times of refreshing, I'm telling you, it's all I can do to hardly contain myself right now. Amen. It's invigorating. Amen. It gets inside of you. It makes the three hairs on the back of my head stand up and break. Yes. I mean, it's just one of those things that you can't hardly contain. Yes. Praise unto our God. Yes. Woo! My, I don't know if I'm going to get through this message or not. Amen. Now, my wife knows I love her, but she loves for me to tell her I love her. So, if you will, worship is the fact I love her. Praise is me telling her I love her. Hallelujah. Amen. By our words, amen. And we have praises like glory to God and hallelujah and thank you, Jesus, and Lord, you're worthy. And in a church setting like this, it's not uncommon for somebody to break out in an articulation of praise. They're not just bywords. They're not just common phrases that we use idly. Well, some people do with repetitious sayings and prayers and whatnot. But this is something that we feel and we express. Now, do we always feel like praising God? I guarantee you some of you, when you get up tomorrow morning, you're going to barely be able to get out of bed. And you're going to be looking in that mirror and saying, oh, Jesus, hold my hand today. Do more than that. Carry me. Praise God. Oh, but God loves our praise. We praise Him by our words. We praise Him by our singing. How Great Thou Art is another example of a great song. There's a chorus we sing in the States. When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up, He turned me around, He placed my feet on solid ground. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah. You all know that chorus? It makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Yeah. Hallelujah. Our very close cousin, Steve Driscoll, is very close to our family there in California. And his son, Matt, who was a soul winner on fire for God, died of a heart attack at the age of 25. He was born with a congenial heart defect. And he was on his way to Phoenix, Arizona, where we pastored to visit a young lady in our church. In fact, he was going to ask her for her hand in marriage that weekend. I got on a plane and flew from San Francisco, or not San, San, yes, San Jose, over to Phoenix, and he wasn't supposed to fly because of his heart condition, and he hadn't taken his proper medication. And that night, as he got into Phoenix on a Friday night, that night, later that evening, he was sitting with his girlfriend on the couch in her grandparents' living room. And he looked over at her and said, "Brittany, I love you," and laid his head back and died. Amen. You talk about a difficult funeral. One of the hardest things for me, Pastor, was to call my cousin Steve, some 600 miles away from there, and say, "Your son just passed away." But I want to tell you something about his funeral. Matt couldn't sing a lick. That guy had no ability to hold a tune in a bucket, let alone outside the bucket. I mean, he was just about tone deaf as they come. But they had a youth choir in their church that ran about 250, 300 at the time. And their youth choir was 40 or 50 young people. And they got to singing this song in the funeral, "When I'm Thinking About the Lord, How He Saved Me." And Matt's dad, Steve, jumped up from his seat and went up and stood in the spot where Matt always stood. Matt was in the youth choir even though he couldn't sing. But he was there giving all he had. And Steve raised his hand to heaven. I'm telling you what, that place come on blue. There was about 500 or 600 people in that funeral service. And just like we saw a while ago, folks were shouting and jumping and running. And I mean, it was just an articulation of praise unto our God. Amen. Our God desires and loves the praise of His people. Amen. There's power in praise. I want to give you three things tonight that happen when we praise God. Number one, praise secures God's manifest presence. You look back in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse number 13. It talks about a wonderful service they had there in that Old Testament church. It said it came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one. Boy, when you get together in unity, ain't no telling what God is. To make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever," that the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Oh, I long for those services when the power of God moves in such a great way. Amen. That the people can hardly stand. Amen. Have you been in those types of services? They ought to be more on a regular basis than they are just every now and then. Amen. There's times when we've not even been able to take the service and preach because of the praise and the worship and the moving of the Spirit of God in our midst. Amen. That praise secures God's manifest presence in our midst. And all you have to do is praise. You want sinners to get saved? You have a service like we did tonight. That draws people. The Spirit of God draws men and women. Amen. There's times we've had services. I'll never forget an Easter Sunday. You know, that's a big thing to us. Easter Sunday, we have a lot of visitors come to church, and we were pastoring in Arizona, and I invited our friends across the street to come to the service, and they were unchurched, and so they came, and I thought, you know, it's going to be a safe service for them to come. Not too much is going to happen. We're just, you know, going to have song service, and I'm going to get up and preach, and it all broke out. I mean, we had a Holy Ghost hoedown. It was just one of them services like we described here in the book of Chronicles where the Spirit of God moved. Amen. They stayed the whole service, but I went to visit them the following day or two, and I said, "Well, how'd you like it? How'd you like the service?" And that brother, that man, my friend, he said, "It scared us half to death." They didn't know what to expect, and they sure didn't have never seen anything like that before. Amen. So the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. Psalm 22:3 says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." There is power in praise because God is great and He inhabits that praise. He dwells in, He lives in, He longs for, He desires the praise of His people unto Him. Amen. You don't have to work up a service or get it all, you know, pumping like the old well. Come on, you know, lift your hands and praise the Lord. Come on, stand up. Come on, sit down. Come on, somebody say something. Come on, say amen. You know, we're just, a lot of times we're like cheerleaders, you know. Woo-hoo, go team, go. Amen. When you have something in your heart, you come into the house of God. It doesn't take long before that articulates without a cheerleader having to pump and pop you. Without a well, amen, a well gusher, whatever those guys are called. Amen. Trying to get the water out. Amen. People will spontaneously praise God. God will be there in your midst.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Number two, praise secures an unburdening. We read in our text in Isaiah 61, verse 3, it says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You've got to understand here, the Jews had been in captivity for some time. They had been yanked from their home, their comforts, what they were used to. They were in a foreign land. Their church was back home. Their temple. They were forced into slavery, and they were mightily oppressed. Over in Psalms 136, verse 1, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our hearts upon the wills in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us a mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of thine. And they said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Maybe you used to have a song in your heart, spring in your step, the life's circumstances, the tragedies, the terrible things that happen to good people in life may have caused you to hang your harp on a wheel somewhere. And the praise you used to have in your heart may not be there anymore. You may be just kind of hanging on. Maybe you just come to church sometimes just out of, you know, pleasing the pastor. Just maybe you come and not really expecting anything. Amen. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that you're just at a place at a point in your life you kind of even wonder where God is. I went through that when I was in Bible college. There was a point in my life I questioned the existence of God. In a God faith-based Bible college. Amen. But one day God made himself so real to me. Hallelujah. And I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, yes, you do exist. And yes, you do have a purpose and a plan for mankind. Amen. Because of life happening, amen, sometimes the song goes into remission and we don't know if we're going to be able to sing again. We had a dear family in our church, a colored family, the Currys, wonderful folks. And Brother and Sister Curry has several children. And this is one of the reasons I insist in our pastors that children do not play in the parking lot. Because one afternoon, they were visiting at another church, and the kids were out playing football in the parking lot after the service, waiting for their parents. And 4-year-old little, I can't remember his name now, Cameron Curry, 4 years of age, got run over by a vehicle and killed. Oh, you talk about tragic. Man, those brother and sister Curry, just a beautiful couple in our church, they were devastated that their child had been killed. But you know what? They kept coming to the house of God. And I want to tell you, there's some services, Pastor, where we couldn't hardly have church. She'd get to weeping and crying so bad. And you know what we did? We all went over there and put our arms around that precious couple, and that was our whole service. We did nothing but support them. We did that for weeks on end. And finally, come to a point, she got to sit through an entire service, Brother Jerry, without falling apart. And after a while, a few months, several months have passed, and I'll never forget Brother Keenan Curry, that man of God. He wasn't a shower, he wasn't a dancer, he didn't run the aisles, but he would stand there, and he'd throw up his hands toward heaven, and we'd be singing a song like, when I think about the Lord, and tears would start flowing down his cheeks. He had the most beautiful, whitest smile I've ever seen on a man. And he'd bare those white teeth towards heaven,
that big old smile come on his face as he was worshiping and praising his God. Amen. Even though his son had been killed, God was reviving the song in his soul. Amen. One day, Sister Curry, and I told her, I said, sis, when you feel like singing again, let me know. We want you to minister in song one of these days. One day she came in. She said, Pastor, I believe I want to sing today. I said, you're on. I brought her up to the platform. She took that mic and she began to sing. Amen. The song was this. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Where would I be? Amen. The verse says, He kept my enemies away. He let the sun shine through a cloudy day. Oh, He wrapped me in the cradle of His arms when He knew I'd been battered and torn. Verse 2 says, He never left me all alone. He gave me peace and joy I've never known. He answered when I knelt to Him in prayer. And in victory, the Lord brought me His way. Oh, I'm telling you, that church service was dynamic. Our Spirit of God began to move. Amen. There was an unburdening that was taking place right before our eyes. And Sister Curry, amen, was singing and praising and tears streaming down her cheeks. And we knew God, amen, was bringing that palm of Gilead, amen, to smooth over the hurts of her heart that had been ripped open wide. I'm telling you, praise secured an unburdening. Hallelujah. God will take, amen, that cloak of mourning, and He'll give us a garment of praise to replace that cloak, that terrible burden that we have. Amen. That spirit of heaviness. I'm telling you, sometimes, amen, it's awful hard to raise our hands. Amen. But I'll tell you, if you do it in a sacrifice of praise, God will unburden you. Amen. After 14 years of prayer, a pastor, it's a phenomenon to see people, God's people, coming to church pounding. Yeah. People that have been in church for years. And sometimes you can see it on their face when they come through the sanctuary doors. Just so heavy with the cares of this world and the burdens that they carry. And your heart goes out to them. And I've always encouraged our church. Amen. When you come to the house of God, whether you feel like it or not, give it your best shot. Amen. God will honor. Amen. Every effort you do. Amen. Just to be here sometimes, it's a chore. It's a burden just to come. Amen. But if we can just come together. Amen. We leave encouraged. We'll leave lifted up. Amen. Church is for the edification of the saints of God. Hallelujah. I'm glad we can come. Amen. With those of my precious name and be encouraged.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just takes a brother slipping his arm around your shoulder and saying, hey, bro, I've been thinking about you this week, praying for you, believing God for you. Amen. I'll tell you, there's times as a pastor, I've been up to the altar, and all I prayed was, Pastor, was, oh God, send somebody to pray with me. Just, I don't even pray in anything else, just send somebody to pray with me. That's why altar workers are so important. Every one of us need to be in the altars, praying one with another. You never know who you're going to encourage. Woo, I hope this is helping you tonight. Amen. Praise secures an unburdening. Amen. I'm glad Spencer's here tonight. I'm going to slap your back, but I want you here. Come on up here and help me out. Praise God. Come on, buddies. Amen. Praise God. Let's come find a perch yourselves right over here. Yeah, just sit down right there. Let's see here. Over in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, the Bible says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Now, you know why they prayed, don't you? They were in jail. Which one do you want to be, Paul, or which one do you want to be Silas? Okay, Paul or Paul Silas. I know. Praise God. And at midnight, they prayed. Now, you know why they were in jail, don't you? For preaching the gospel. Amen. They were there because people hated them. And while they were there, they could have had a pity party and said, hey, nobody likes me anymore.
Amen. God, I'm trying to do a work for you. Why are you picking on me like this? I'm giving you my life. I'm going to Bible college, and you probably go to one of these days. And I'm selling out my life to God. Lord, why are you doing this? I don't know if that's a word processor or anything, but we think about it. But understand this. Amen. There's going to be some bad things happen because the world does hate you. So they could have been in jail thinking about, you know, who am I going to email to bail me out, and who am I, how am I going to raise the money for, what am I going to do here? No, you know what they were doing? They were praying and praising. And at midnight, they begin to do something that few of us do when we're really under the crunch. When we really get under the gun. When we're ready to pull the rest of our hair out. When we're ready to bite our wife's head off. When we're ready just to throw up our hands and quit. That's not what they did. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. All right, guys, here it is. So we're going to pray. So let's pray. 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 Lord, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Almost slapped you on the back. Praise God. Amen. So they're praying. And then they sang. Can you sing? Yeah. That's six songs. Oh, precious is the flow of heaven. Why is no one? And the prisoners heard them. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And the prisoners heard them. Amen. And some people say, well, it gets too loud at church. Amen. I want people to know we're not a funeral home. Come on now. This isn't visitation. This isn't awake. This is the church of the living God. Amen. This is not some little, you know, lay me down to sleep little session. Amen. We come to have church. Amen. Sometimes we get accused of being a little loud. Well, I'd rather be a little loud than not have any life at all. Amen. We're not a walking corpse. Amen. We're not some sort of, you know, on life support waiting for hospice to come in. Amen. Some of us act like that sometimes. Amen. But the prisoners are there. That's praise. It's articulation. Oh, praise God. And then what does it say? Suddenly there was a great earthquake. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Amen. Don't break that altar. Amen. I'm going to have to use my offering to repair the altar. And the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. Amen. And they returned back to where they came from. Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a wonder sometimes that people can maintain the victory of God in their lives. Because they act like they've lost their last best friend. Look like they've been through the molly drugs. Look like they've sucked on sour lemons until they're so prune taste you can't hardly tell them from a California raisin. It's just pitiful. Oh, poor pitiful me. How the pastor? How you doing today? Sometimes that's a dangerous question. How are you doing? Oh, you wouldn't believe what's happened to me this week. I've been through hell three times. I've got three pains I can't locate. The doctor gave me a new medication that makes 96 pills now I take three times a day. And I'm not minimizing the problems you go through. But sometimes we have a medical history we pull out, amen, that's longer than the Reader Digest book we get once a month. Amen. I'm telling you something. I'm not saying we got to lie and say, oh, you're fine. No, we're not. Amen. But you know one of the best responses? One of the brothers, a preacher friend of mine, every time you'd ask him, how you doing, brother? He'd always reply, the Lord is my helper. That's a safe answer. Amen. That's a safe answer. The Lord is my helper. Amen. Brother, sister, that praise will secure an unburdening. God never designed for us, amen, to live in the molly grubs. He never designed for us to hang our harp on the willows. Amen. He came to preach good tidings to the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Praise secures an unburdening. Amen. Praise, number 3, secures victory. Over there in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Let's read this few verses here. He said, "Hearken, ye all Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and now King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Go down tomorrow against them. Behold, they come to the cliff of Ziz. You shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle." There's some battles they had to fight. He said, you're not going to have to fight in this battle. He said, "Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his hand with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and all the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with a loud voice on high. And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe the Lord your God, so shall believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. On this occasion, praise was the very weapon that destroyed the enemy. You need victory in your life? Praise him. Amen. You need God to bring an answer in your life? Praise him. Amen. Sometimes we think God is nothing more than a Santa Claus. Amen. And we get our wish list out. Sometimes our prayer times before God is nothing more than, "God, give me this, and God, give me that. You know, God, you know what I have need of." And there are times we are in a position, God, your cares upon the Lord, for he careth for you. Amen. But I'd like to start off my prayer time with praise. Oh God, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for being good to my family. I thank you for giving me a roof over our head, food on the table, a vehicle to drive, health, Lord. Oh God, you've been so good to us. And then after a while, I get to asking God for the needs. Amen. For the people of God. I'm telling you, so let me start off with praise. Psalms 149 verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song. Praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance." We saw that happen tonight. Amen. Our sister here, hallelujah, she was reading. Amen. Praising God in the dance. Amen. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel. Amen. I had that over here, that percussion. Amen. For the same was tearing up Jack over there. Amen. Oh, yes. Let them with the timbrel and the harp. Amen. The keyboard that's pretty close to heaven. Harp strings. Amen. Sister Bonnie was making the Irish timbrel. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, the electronic timbers anyhow. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. We don't have beds here tonight. Some of you look like you're about ready to go to sleep. Amen. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. You know what the two-edged sword is? It's the word of God. Amen. The Bible combined with praise will bring the victory. I don't have time to preach it tonight, but there needs to be a balance. We got a lot of people that are just high strung on praise and never crack open the Word of God. There must be a balance between the two. But when you've got the sword in your hand and praise on your lips, amen, what a powerful combination. What a weapon of warfare against the enemy of discouragement. Amen. Hallelujah. Come to the piano, man. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. I don't know if I've told this before, I might have. Brother and Sister Boone, they were evangelists and they were clear out of California and they were headed back towards the Midwest. And they're pulling a truck and travel trailer. And they stopped at a rest area in New Mexico. And while they were there, they stayed there for the night. And in the morning, he went out and started his truck to get it warmed up, his diesel truck, and started that truck and came back to the trailer and finished securing everything. And he felt the trailer lurch. Somebody had gone and jumped in his truck and was fixing a steel rig. He jumped out of the trailer to see what in the world was going on. And as he did, that truck roared out of that rest stop. Door flopping in the wind. His wife still inside. And there was a gentleman there that had a cell phone. And they called the highway patrol to notify them and gave them a description of the vehicle. He was headed back westbound towards California. And meanwhile, Sister Boone was in the trailer. She realized something was bad happening. And so she got underneath their little table and she took the cushions off the couch and she patted herself in. You know what she did? She didn't freak out. She didn't have a nervous breakdown. She went to prayer. She started praying until she said, I felt God bubbling up in my soul. She said, I prayed until I started speaking in tongues. Amen. God was so real to her. She said in that little cubby hole, as that truck and trailer was racing down I-40 back towards California. Meanwhile, the state trooper came and picked up Elder Boone. Amen. He was in the back seat. Amen. He didn't have a panic attack or, amen, wonder how in the world he's going to make it with that spot. He went to prayer. He said, I started praying. He said, that state trooper adjusted his beard. He said, I wasn't praying twice either. He said, I was praying, amen, like my life depended on it. Because it did. His wife's life was at stake. Amen. He said, he prayed until the Holy Ghost began to rise up. Amen. And he started speaking in tongues. He said, he looked in the mirror and saw the eyes of that state trooper get real big. Amen. Like he accelerated a little bit faster. Amen. To try to catch up with that trailer. Meanwhile, they went off the highway. If they want to try to say, and they got the truck and trailer stopped without incident. They arrested the driver and put him in a vehicle. And when they got in the trailer, they got Sister Boone out from underneath the table. They put her in the back of another cruiser, and she waited there for her husband to arrive in the other state trooper's vehicle. While she was there, there was a well-dressed man in a suit that opened the door of the back seat and got in and sat down beside her. And she began to tell him what all had transpired. She said, you wouldn't believe what just happened. And she was talking. He never said a word. And after a while, she said, but my husband ought to be here any moment. And when she turned around to look to see if he was coming, she turned back and no door had opened, but the stranger was gone. She looked around. She said, where in the world did he go to? Finally, the state trooper came and opened her door and said, ma'am, your husband's here. She said, where did the fellow go that was sitting with me in the vehicle? He was sitting right here in that two-piece suit. Where did he go? The state trooper said, ma'am, there's nobody here that was sitting with you. And then it dawned on her. She said, oh, yes, there was. Hallelujah. I want to tell you what praise does. Praise will secure the manifest presence of God. It will secure an unburdening. It will bring victory. Amen. Another story I read was about a young man, well, not so young, probably middle age, probably my age. But after a while, he was kind of getting discouraged. And he had made God a promise. He said, God, if I ever leave you, I promise I'll come and say goodbye. Kind of a strange thing. But anyways, he went into his closet of prayer where he had been many times. And in fact, every day of his Christian life, he had tried to be consistent in his prayer time with God. And he got in there and he said, Lord, I just came to tell you today that I'm saying goodbye. I'm quitting. I'm not going to go to church anymore. I'm not going to be a Christian anymore. This is too hard to live. There's too many obstacles. There's too many problems. I'm just come to say goodbye. But God, before I do, I just wanted to thank you for all you've done for me. I wanted to thank you for saving me. I want to thank you, Lord, for taking me out of the depths of sin and given me new life. I want to thank you for all the times you've touched my body. I want to thank you, Lord, for all the times you've answered my prayers. And after a while, we got to, you know, thanking God for everything God has done for him. And he got the feeling in the presence of the Lord there. And after a while, amen, of being in his closet of prayer, he concluded his prayer with this: God, if you don't mind, I believe I'll just stick around a while. Hallelujah. I want to take a praise to cure his victory. Amen. If you're going through a spot in your life, amen, a bump in the road, a hiccup in life, amen, you just can't hardly seem to get the victory over, why don't you try praising him? Not just in church, but at home. Amen. The time you spend with God, amen, give him praise. My sister and I, Doris, she is 16 months older than I am. And back in our teenage years, it must have been I was 15 and she's 16. I haven't been driving yet, but Doris and I were driving one day on Scarborough Road in Toronto. There at the Scarborough. Shepherd Avenue. And as we were driving, boy, things were, man, it just, the devil really come against us and our family. And of course, mom and dad were divorced by then. And we were in the Molly Brothers. We were just brand new. In fact, I must have been 16, because I was saved at the time. I got saved when I was 16. So maybe I was 16, she was 17. And as we were going down the road there, she stuck it in a cassette tape. Y'all remember what they are, right? And there was Nancy Harmon. Nancy Harmon was singing, "In everything, give him thanks. In the good times, bad times." Oh, man. I'm telling you, that got a hold of us. We pulled that little Toyota Corolla over into a parking lot, and we started bawling our eyes out. Pretty soon, we started praising God. Amen. Right there in a little parking lot of a small shopping center. Amen. And everything, give him praise. That's not a hard pill to swallow. It's been difficult to do that at times. Amen. Just even recently. Amen. There's been times of when the devil has hounded me about, hey, did you make the right decision? Amen. Did you step out on your own accord? Is this really God? Because we've had even family members that have questioned us. Are you sure this is God? Are you sure you're supposed to go to Canada? Are you sure about this? You're giving up jobs. You're giving up a good home. Amen. You're going to live in a town prayer. Are you absolutely sure about this? I want to tell you, I've never been sure in my entire life. Amen. Because, amen, when I got down to it, I went down to Cedar Lake. Amen. Friday morning, just a few days ago. Amen. As I was down there, I had me a little talk with God. I said, God, I just got to know one more time. Amen. As I begin to praise him and pray to him, God, amen, take my with the Spirit and assert me. Son, amen, go. You have an answer, God. See what God will do. Amen. In Canada, I'm here to tell you, amen, to praise him. Amen. In your hard times, in your difficult times, in the times of sorrow, amen, learn to articulate your praise to God. See what God will do for you. So here's what I'd like to do to the officers. I'd like us to pray one for another. It's just us here tonight, right? I'd like every one of us that will to come. Maybe you can't stand, you can sit on the front seat. But I want us to pray one for another tonight. And just believe God to give Harmony Church such an attitude of praise and worship. When we come in the next service, when you come in the next service, the pastor won't have to do handstands up here, beg, cry, tub. You know, just come on, church. Come on, come on, come on. You know, you won't have to say anybody got a testimony and wait 5 minutes for somebody to stand up. You'll just do it because you've got something in your heart. It's just growing inside. Come on. Amen. We're going to sing here. Let's everybody come around the front of the wheel. Let's just spend a little time praying one for another. That's good.
How he raised me, how he raised me, how he will be. Lift up all he glory, how he heals me. To the earth, when I think about the world. How he brings me up, turn me around. How he takes my place.
Just like that. Just like that.